We're starting Need to Daf Ayin Aleph. Before we start, I want to mention a few things. Okay, we're almost at the end, first of all. We're at the end is really, really in sight. Very exciting. In terms of going forward to the next cycle, so I'm continuing to teach. The podcast is moving to a different channel. So anyone who's subscribed to the podcast will need to resubscribe on Sunday or probably Saturday night, it should be available, to the new podcast channel, which will be called Hadran Daf Yomi for Women. So a minor variation. It's not there yet, so don't subscribe yet. It'll be there in the next day or so, God willing. So that's first of all. And like I said, we have a new site. You can go to the new site. Also by Saturday night, it should be at the hadran.org.il once the registration is no longer open. So either Saturday night, Sunday morning maybe. So make sure if you're subscribed to subscribe there. You can also, on the new site, there's a way to subscribe to the WhatsApp group, in which case you can get a link to the Shir every day by WhatsApp. So that's another easy way to subscribe. And then you'll just get the link every day to your phone. Okay, starting from about eight lines down, Beit Shammai Omrim. We have this very strange thing in the Mishnah, which we didn't really understand yet, which said that Beit Shammai said on the Mishnah in Samach Tera Mabet, Kol Hanashim Metot Nidot. Okay, even if you're not in Nida when you die, we treat you as a Nida, meaning that your clothes, okay, obviously there's no relevance for you anymore, you're not alive, but your clothes have Tumat Nida to them and they need to be tovled. So we're going to have to understand why exactly Beit Shammai says this. And Beit Hillel had said, no, if you die when you're in Nida, your clothes are, have status of Nida clothes.
But if you don't, then not. What's the difference between the Chumrah or the Hashlachot of Tumat Hameh and Tumat Nida?
So they're very different types of tumas. So tumat nida, first of all, we're not talking about the body itself. We're not talking about the woman. We're talking about her clothing. If you're tumat meh, your clothing, your clothing should have tumat meh to them. How does that work? So theoretically, you're an avyavota tumah, you should be metameh clothes. Yeah, no. The answer to your question is that we're talking here, I forgot to mention, important point, we're talking here about clothes she wore right before she died. It's not clothes she was wearing when she dies are metame tuma made. But clothes she was wearing just before, we treat them as if they were in nida. Okay? So now the question becomes, why is this? So my tamayu de Beit Shammai. Ine ma mishum dichtiv vatit chachal hamalka va'amarav malamet shepersa nida. When Esther sees Mordechai wearing the sock, right, he's in avelut, she gets all shocked. What happens? Rav says, when it says, v'titchachal amalkah, it means shepersanida, she started bleeding. That was the titchachal, caused her to bleed. So we could say, hachanami, aga biatuta de malcha de mota, chazia. Because she saw the malcha mavet coming, she started to see blood. Okay, so the assumption is that a woman, just before she dies, and again, you'd have to say, she was wearing clothes, when the Malach HaMavet started approaching her, she got all scared, somehow, you know, this happens at some point, and then she changed her clothing, right? Because we're talking about clothes that were no longer on her. But from the shock of seeing the Malach HaMavet coming, she got all worked up and she started to bleed. If you say that that's the reason, V'ha'anantanan, don't we know from a Mishnah, Shechagadam Asaleket Tadamim, we learned that anxiety causes blood to not come out. It causes the muscles to contract and keep the blood inside. So halokashia, they say, this is not a difficulty, and here's an interesting distinction. Pachda tzamit biatuta mirapya. Anxiety, which is more like a prolonged thing, you start thinking about things in advance and getting anxious about them, that causes things to contract. But biatuta, sudden fear, you see something coming at you, see the Malach HaMavet coming, she saw Mordechai, got shocked. That mirapya, it kind of opens things up and causes the blood to come out. So there's a difference between anxiety and fear.
And this applies to women no matter what their age?
Yeah. Yeah. The assumption is that again, we're going to reject this. Okay? So don't worry. This isn't the reason. Okay? This is their suggestive reason.
But overall, the idea of women being needed when they die. I'm like,
no. So this is... It is not the reason. Okay? They think maybe the reason is that maybe the incoming death... Malach HaMavet coming scared her and caused her to bleed. But the Gemara says no, that can't be because it makes no sense in the context of this issue. This issue is not only true for a Nida, it's also true for a Zav. Ela hadetnan, it says, which actually should be hadetanya and a braita, the same machlok at Beit Shammai Beit Hillel appears also by a zav. Beit Shammai omrim, kol anashim metim zavim, ubeit Hillel omrim, ein zav, ela mishem met zav. Okay, so the same thing happens here. Beit Shammai says, all men are considered that when they die, they have some sort of discharge, and they're therefore, or as if they did, and they're considered tumat zav, and the same thing, their clothes retroactively will be tmeim, from the ones they wore before they died. Ubeit Hillel omrim, ein zav, ela mishem met zav. No, he says, only if you're a status of zav when you die, then you would be. So, and why could this not be relevant for a Zav? Because if the idea is that when the Malach HaMavet's coming, the person gets so scared and all of a sudden has this discharge, well, what do we know? Ikre kam mivsaro v'lo machmat onso. A Zav who sees machmat ones from being scared or some sudden thing causes him to have this discharge is not Tamei Zav. So it can't possibly be that we're going to treat him as a Zav because of this. And therefore, they reject this entirely and they have a whole different answer. Ela. Tama de Beit Shammai kedetanya, as it appears in the following braita. Barishona hayu matbilim kelim al gabei nidot metot. Okay, so originally they would be tova b'kelim of the women who were nida only, okay, even according to Beit Shammai. Just kelim of nidot, so if you were to die and a few minutes before you were wearing clothes, so we would take your clothes and we'd have to tova them because you were a status of a nida before. But what happened? Hayu nidot chayot mitbayshot. You know, people didn't really know, were they wearing the clothes when they died, were they wearing the clothes before they died, and they started to see that they were basically toveling all these clothes and treating the nida in the stringent way, even though the woman's not even alive anymore. They were kind of, and what happened? The women who were in nida started to feel, now think about it, a woman's in nida, first of all, think about the word nida. Nida means, right, like minude, excommunicated, kind of out of the picture. And women often feel, you know, because they're not allowed to be with their husbands, you know, there's this certain amount of richuk, of distancing. And it caused the women to feel all the more stringent and a little bit nervous about their nida when they saw the way they were treating these dead people's clothes and saying, oh, we're going to treat them as nida. And they kind of said, oh my God, nida must be so stringent. So what did they do? They said, we don't want people to think that this all has to do with nida. And we don't want these nidot to feel, you know, embarrassed. I would say the better word, intimidated, or put like kashpala, like
humiliated.
Yeah, humiliated. That's the word I'm looking for. It made them feel humiliated about their whole status of nida. It's a really interesting source. Hitkinu shiyu matbilin al gabei kol anashim mipnei kvodan shel nidot. So in order to have respect for the nidot and not to make them feel this way,
the living ones.
So they basically said, well, let's just treat all women who were dead, we'll treat them all in the same way. It's interesting. Beit Shammai is machmir, but it's coming from this wonderful perspective of let's try to not make them feel neglected and kind of, you know, like you got the cooties, right? Stay far away, and we have to be so strict about it. So it's interesting. Let's be strict about everybody, and then at least they won't feel humiliated. And then it's very obvious about the Zav, the same thing. It's not just that they were sensitive to women, but they were sensitive to the Zav. Remember, he also has to leave the Machaneh, you know, in general. It's also. Barishona, yumat bilin agabe zavim metim. Bayu zavim chayim mitbayshim. And therefore, itkinush yumat bilin agabe kol anashim mipnei kvodan shel zavim chayim. So the same exact issue by the Zav. Since originally they treated it only the Zavim, well, then they said, oh, this is going to look, you know, make the other Zavim feel bad. And therefore, right, if you see Rashi, says it very well, mitbayshin, shafilu b'mitatam him mishunim mikol adam. Right, that even in their death, it's such a strong line, that even in their death, they're considered different. Right? Nobody likes to feel different. And this is a really interesting thing, in order not to make people feel different, we just have to treat everybody as if they're different, and then everybody becomes the same, which is it's a great line. Okay, new Mishnah. Haisha shemeta v'yatzam yimena revi'itam. Okay, now we're going to get into all these situations where somebody dies, and as they're dying, blood comes out of their body. Now, as they're dying, what's the issue? Well, if they're alive, and the assumption is blood is coming out from the uterus. So if they're alive, then it's nida blood. If they're dead, then it's tumat mate blood. And we know that blood, if you have a revit of blood, a quarter of a log of blood, that's metame ohel, tumat ohel, in a house, in a covered structure. So the question is, how do we treat this blood? Is it, if it's as she's dying, was it before she was dying? Was it after she's dying? So Tanakhama says, mitama mishum ketem, umitama ba'ohel. Okay, since it was a ravid, it's metame tumat ohel. The nida, you don't, for it to be a ketem, you don't really need a ravid. It could be anything, but it, you know, the ravid was there because of the ohel. And it's also metame mishum ketem. We treat it as if it came out when she was still alive, and it's metame mishum ketem, and it's metame ba ohel. Now, why ketem and not nida? Well, how do you become a nida? Remember, you have to see a flow coming out or have a hargasha. And obviously, this woman can't see; she's dead, and she can't have a feel. She can't have a hargasha; she's dead. So it's only mishum ketem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ena matama mishum ketem mikashum mipnei shene ekar mishemeta. This is blood that's coming out when she died, and therefore it's not matame mishum ketem. Umode Rabbi Yehuda, but Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mode in a case where we know blood came out before she died. What would be that case? Be Yoshevet al Mashber, an unfortunate, very common way that women died in those days, in childbirth. Yoshevet al Mashber was they had this kind of chair, table type thing where they would give birth on.
Birthing stool.
Yeah, birthing stool. So she was sitting on the birthing stool, umeta, and then she died. V'yatzami mena revi'itam. So in that case, she matama mishum ketem. He says, then she's matama mishum ketem. Why? Because we assume the blood came out in the childbirth, which happened before she died. Amar Rabbi Yossi, lefichach eina matama ba'olel. Rabbi Yossi says, if we're assuming the blood came out when she was alive, well then, it's not matama mishum olel, because it didn't come out when she was dead. Now, one thing I just want to point out at this point is Rabbi Yehuda, or the Mishnah that said that Rabbi Yehuda is Moda, in this case, he doesn't say Eina Matama Ba'ohel, and therefore the Gemara is going to assume that Rabbi Yehuda thinks both Ohel and Ketem. And then we're going to have to understand, well, if it's coming out from before when she was still alive, then why is it also Matama Mishum Ohel? Remember, he doesn't say anything about Ohel, but the assumption is, since Rabbi Yossi comes and disagrees, right, one answer could possibly be Rabbi Yossi is just clarifying. But the Gemara is going to understand that Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing. In which case, we're going to assume Rabbi Yossi says it's not matame mishum ohel, but Rabbi Yehuda must say it is. Okay, so going back to the first case, again, we have a woman who sees blood as she's dying. It's matame mishum ketem and ba'ol. And then Rabbi Yehuda says it's not matame mishum ketem because it came out when she was already dead. So now we say, well, what's the machloket then? If it came out when she was already dead, so why does Tanakama say, right? Michlal, did Tanakama savar? One can infer from what Rabbi Yehuda says that Tanakama obviously disagrees and says, af agav shenei akar dam mishameta mitama mishum ketem. Even if it comes out when she's dead, it will be mitame mishum ketem. So why is that? Hamar ze'ere, mikor makamot ha-mei kabenayu. A machloket we keep bringing up every time we can't understand something. Anything, but there's a few cases we couldn't understand. We said it must be based on this machloket, which is when the blood passes the uterus, is the uterus a place that's considered a tame place that can transfer tumah to other things? So if you say the actual location of the uterus is in and of itself, the uterus is tame, it can be metame other things. So even if she's dead, when the blood passes out of the uterus, it goes from the uterus outside, as soon as it touches the uterus, it's basically going to become tame. That's Tanakama, and that's why it's Matame Mishum Ketem, not because she's bleeding when she's alive. We assume they're both talking in the first case, she bleeds when she's dead. The question is, can it have both or not? And that's all based on Makor Makomo Tame or not. Now we get to the bit more complicated. Mode Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda's Mode in the case of she's on the birthing stool, she starts bleeding before, right? We assume the blood from before is Matame Mishum Ketem. And then because Rabbi Yossi says it's not Matame Mishum Oel, we assume Rabbi Yehuda thinks it is Matame Mishum Oel. So that's what the Gemara is going to say right now. Michlal de Tanakama, which is really Rabbi Yehuda, Savar Ba'oel Nami Matame. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, how do we explain that? It's kind of a question. He thinks Ba'oel Nami Matame? And either he treats it as she was alive and then it's not Matame Ba'oel or not. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Dam Tfusa Ikabenayu. The machloka between them is about Dam Tfusa. Okay, before we explain what this means, we have to explain what is dam tfusa. We've seen this before. It comes from Verech mitboseset b'damayach, v'omer lach b'damayach chayi in Pesach, wallowing in the blood. So, right, which is as a person is dying. So it's going to be a case where, okay, there's something about blood before death and something about blood after death. It's some sort of combination. So we're going to see this in Machloket about what exactly is the combination that we're referring to. So the first opinion, Perish Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Yehuda, Harug sheyatza mimenu dam, bein b'chayav, bein b'moto. You have a dead person whose blood is coming out of his body, whether it came out during his life or in his death. Safek b'chayav, yatza. Safek b'moto, yatza. We're not sure, did it leave his body when he was alive or did it leave his body when he's dead? Or safek yatza, safek b'chayav u'b'moto. Right? So, or the question is, did it leave his body both. We're not sure. There's three possibilities. Zehu dam tfusa. Okay? So maybe it all left his body when he was alive, maybe it all left his body when he was dead, or maybe part and part. That's what we call dam tfusa. Now, what's the relevance of dam tfusa? On a doraita level, it's not tamei meit, but the rabbis were goes there and said it's going to be metamei tumah, maybe derabana. So now, chachamim omrim, okay, so they say zehu dam tfusa. Chachamim totally disagree and say, what are you talking about? That makes no sense. If it's suffik whether it came out when he was alive, or suffik whether it came out when he was dead, or suffik whether both in part and part, that is going to be just a classic case of suffik tumah. Because if it came out when he was alive, well then, it's not tamei tumah meit. If it came out when he was dead, then it is. That, and if it came out half-half, then we'd have to, right, then it would be another question. But he says, if this is classic suffik tumah, what do we know? We have general principles about suffik tumah. We always say, and this is learned out from the Sota, that if it's suffik berushita yachid, we're going to say it's tameh, and if it happened berushita rabim in a public thoroughfare, then we're going to say it's tahor. So that can't possibly be the case of dam tefusa, which we say midrabanan is tameh, midoraita it's not. That's not what we say generally in a suffik situation. And therefore, the rabbis say that's not dam tefusa. Ela ezu dam tefusa, according to the rabbis. Altogether, a revi'it of dam came out, but we know that some came out when he was alive and some came out when he was dead. What's the suffik? The suffik isn't, was there dam? It was tamei tumah meit, but the question is, v'adayin lo pasak, and it continued from before death to after death. Safek rubo b'chayav u'miyuto b'moto. Safek miyuto b'chayav v'rubo b'moto. The suffik is, did most of it come out when he was alive and the minority when he died? And then we would say, this revi'it of dam is not matamei meit. Or is it safek miyuto b'chayim v'rubo b'moto? Or did the majority come out when he was dead? In which case we'd say that we're going to follow the majority.
I don't understand the point of all this, because wherever they are, there's a dead body next to it, which is a greater tumah.
No, let's say they take the dead body out of the house and then there's blood in the ground.
Still remains.
Yeah.
The house already had tumah. Because it was an open ma'il on the
But let's say the body leaves and then you bring in a kli into the house. So it's not matamei tumah at all once the body's not there. And it's tumah, right? The body's going to leave very soon, but the blood's still going to be there until you clean it out. So it's very relevant. It's not like the body's going to necessarily stay there for the long term. It's true, whatever was already there might be tamei. But, or let's say the blood drips into a place that was under a branch that's ma'ahil alav and the dead body was next to it. You know, all different possibilities. Okay, so that's dam tfusa. So now, how does this go back to our issue? Who remembers where we were? So Tanakama said, right, this case is also matame ba'ol, and Rabbi Yossi said it's not. So this case is a case of dam tfusa. The question is, do we treat this as a case of dam tfusa? Do we say, well, she was on the mashver? Do we view this as some came out when she was alive and some came out when she was dead, in which case we're going to say it's tameh, that's Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yos is going to say this isn't the case of dam tfusa, we're going to assume the blood came out when she was still alive and not when she was dead. Okay, going according to Chachamim's interpretation. Now another thing, Rabbi Yehuda omer, haruk sheyatza mimenu revi'i dam, v'hayam mutal b'mita. Okay, we have a dead person, that the blood is dripping out of the body, a revi'it of dam came out, he was lying on a bed, and the blood drips down into a hole. Tameh. Okay, this blood is tameh. Why? Again, the assumption is we started out with blood that came out of his body before he died, but then added into this was more blood from after his death. So since there's blood of mitam uwebet bo mixed in with that, we're going to say this is mitame tumat ola. Bechachamim mitaharim. Now we get into regular dinim of bitul, of nullification. How so? Mipnei sherishon, rishon nifsak. We've learned this many times before, which is, right, you have this big hole of blood. Good, I have a red marker. And then you have blood dripping down into it. Every drop that goes in, now the blood that's in here is not matame tumat ol, because the first blood that gets into that hole is when the person was alive. So as the blood drips, every time it drips in, what happens? Nullified, 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 nullified. So each time a drip comes in, it's nullified into the robe of the blood that was there before. So Chachamim say, it's tahor. So now the Gemara says, Shapir ka'amri le Rabban al Rabbi Yehuda. That's actually pretty accurate. So how could Rabbi Yehuda claim that this blood, even though it started off as non-tamei blood and more blood dripped in, why don't we say dine bitul? And this goes back to a famous shita that we've seen. Rabbi Yehuda le tameh, if you remember, damar ein dam bevatal dam. Dam doesn't cancel out other dam, and it's not just dam, but what does he hold? Famous shita, min b'mino eino batel. This is very important. When we generally think of bitul, what do we think of? Basar b'chalav, right? So a drop of milk falls into your cholent. So what do we say? Well, those are two different things. Obviously, one is going to overpower the other. But if you drop milk in kosher milk into non-kosher milk, well, it's all milk, so it doesn't get canceled. It's part of the milk. So he says, blood into blood, it doesn't get canceled, and therefore you end up with this mixture that has in it a revit of dam from after death. Or maybe it has less than a revit, but because it's this dam tfusa, we'd say midirabanan, it's a problem. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Braita continues, tzaluv ala etza. Here we get to crucifixion, okay, which was common in those days from the Romans. So if you're crucified on a tree, shedamo, now how do you, when you get crucified, how do you die? Basically, blood starts coming out. So the blood causes your death. But the blood that comes out, the majority of the blood that comes out, you're still alive when the blood's coming out. Sorry for the grotesque image. Shedamo shote la'aretz v'nimtza tachtav revi'itam. So now what happens? The blood is dripping from the person's body, and then you have this puddle of blood underneath. So the blood that's underneath the person is tameh, if there's a revit. Rabbi Yehuda mitaher, shani omer, tipashal mita omedet lo agava etz. He says, no, you're actually tahor. Why? Because the majority of the blood comes out when the person's still alive. The very last blood that comes out when the person's dead can potentially get stuck on the tree that he's crucified on, and it may not have ever gotten to the ground. And therefore, he says it's tahor. Okay, so the same Rabbi Yehuda that says, in the case of the mita, that we're going to treat it as if it's not batel and it's tame. In the case of the tree, he says it is. So obviously the Gemara is going to ask, Rabbi Yehuda, name it iu l'nafshe, shani omer, tipashal mita, omedet lo agava mita. Why didn't you say the same thing with the bed? That on the bed you could say maybe all the blood came out when he was still alive, and the blood that's in the ground is from his live body, and the blood that was trickling at the end got stuck on the bed. So obviously they're going to say there's some reason why a bed is different and it's not going to get stuck on that. What's the difference between the bed and the tree? Shani b'mita d'mechalchala. The bed moves around. The assumption is when the person's dying, they're flailing a little bit and it moves the bed. Because it moves the bed, it doesn't really get stuck on the bed. But when you're on the tree, right, the tree is very solid and nothing's, right, the tree's not moving, and therefore it's very likely the blood will get on the tree. Okay, interesting images. Anyway,
it's okay. Worse, actually, if you're being crucified, you can't flail.
Right, it's also true.
It's not only the tree, it's the
right,
status
the body
of the
also can't, right. Okay, but also the tree is wedged into the ground, whereas the bed is not. So you have two differences. Okay, now we're kind of moving off topic. That's typical. Sometimes at the end of Masechto, they kind of try to get in all sorts of things they haven't gotten in yet. Barishona hayomrim, and it's interesting because when I taught this morning in Hebrew, I said, oh, Barishona, because we already have Barishona. But then I realized it wasn't the previous Mishnah, but it was, we quoted right before the previous Mishnah on Ayin Aleph, we had this other Barishona. In the beginning, they were Matvilim Kelim Al-Gabei Nidot, and then they changed it. So, but that's not why our Mishnah starts that way. But anyway, I just wanted to connect those two wordings. Barishona is always right. They originally did things one way, and then they changed. Barishona yomrim, hayoshevet al-dam tahor. Now, a woman who is in her dam tahor days, now this goes back to a concept we talked about a long time ago, which is when a woman has her dam tahor, which means her pure days, remember, she bleeds after childbirth, she bleeds for 7 days. After she bleeds, right, if she gave birth to a male, she goes to the mikvah, and then any blood after that for the next 33 days is dam tahor. After that, and then there was a debate, Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel, which we're going to see today, does she have to go to the mikvah again? Okay, what's her status that whole time? Well, she's really like a tful yom. What's a tful yom? It's someone who goes to the mikvah in the morning and has to wait till the nighttime. She can't eat kodashim till her dam tohar days are over. And that's the only relevance for her, right? She can't come to the mikdash, and she can't touch kodashim. Anything else she can touch, she doesn't make anything else tameh, but kodashim, sanctified items, she can't touch. So now we're going to talk about what's her status when she's in the status that we're going to call tfulat yom aroch. Okay, it's like an extended tful yom. That's why we have this machloka Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, because, or tfulat yom aricha, they call it. Right? She's got one very long day of tful yom. Normally tful yom is just, right, so normally you go to the mikvah in the morning, let's say you're a zava, go to the mikvah in the morning of the 7th, you're tmeah until nighttime, and the nighttime, magically, you know, you become like, not magically, but you're done. You don't have to go to the mikvah again at the end of the tful yom. The whole question with her was, well, since your tful yom is so long, maybe she needs to go to the mikvah to have some sort of
closure.
Closure, exactly. So, Barishona yomrim. Originally, they used to say hayoshevet adam tahor. That means while she's in her clean days. By the way, I didn't say right for the boy it's 7 and 33, and for the girl it's 14 and 66. So while she's in those days, haytam ma'are ma'im lepesach. She can take, now remember, people in those days kept chulin al taharat hakodesh. Especially, right, these were chulin items. Things were only sanctified if they're used in the mikdash, if they were put into a kli sharet in the mikdash, or, you know, certain things have certain sanctity. But this is just mayim getting ready to pour on the korban pesach. Or some people say it's not to pour on the korban pesach, it's to make the matzah. There was a debate about what this water was used for. But she could do that. Ma'areh means she could pour the water on, holding the kli without touching the water. So it sounds like she can't touch the water, but she can touch the kli. Hazgu lamar, but then eventually they said that she's kimagat meimet lekodashim kedivrei Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai omrim ab ketamei met. Okay, so then they said, no, it's not just that she can't. No, okay, now we're going to have to see, because the beginning seems to indicate one thing, the sefer seems to indicate something else, so let's ignore the connection between them, and then we'll get to that in the Gemara. Later they said, no, her maga is like the maga of a tmei met. It's like, she's basically a rishon, okay? And according to Beit Shammai, he says she's actually like an avatuma, a tamei met, someone who's, right, remember, the maid itself is an aviavot hatuma, someone who comes in contact with the maid is an av hatuma, right? Can be metame kelim and food, right? Everything, adam kelim, food and drink. Then the rishon can only be metame food and right. The av hatuma can only be metame. Sorry, the av hatuma can be metame adam kelim and food and drink. The rishon can only be metame food and drink and turn it into a sheni. And a sheni can only turn truma or kodshim into a shlishi. And a shlishi can only turn kodshim into a revi. Okay, that's very important to understand for today's stuff. So, Beit Hillel says she's like a rishon, meaning she can only be metame food and drink, and Beit Shammai says she's like an avatuma. So, the Gemara starts off and says, ma'ara'in, it sounds like she can only hold the kli that the water is in, but no god lo. It sounds like she can't actually touch the water, even though the water isn't kodshim. The water is chulin, maybe it's chulin shenasu al taharat kodesh. So why can't she touch them? So what can you infer from here? It sounds like chulin that were treated like kodesh are like kodesh. Okay? And that's why she can't touch this water, because theoretically, remember, she's a tful yom. The only issue she has is that she can't touch kodeshim. So now we're going to say we must be treating these chulin that were treated like kodesh as kodesh mamash. And Masefa, however, the continuation of the Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. Because why? It says, Chazru lamar harei kimagat meimet lekodashim. Notice it says, she's like a rishon. I forgot to point this out. She's like a rishon when it comes to kodshim. Okay? Or an avatuma. Right, sorry. A rishon according to Beit Hillel and an av according to Beit Shammai. Sounds like only for kodashim. Which sounds like lekodashim in lechulin lo. Alma, it sounds from the Seifa, the chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh, lav kekodesh damu. So how do they answer this question? They say, matniti mani, who's the Mishnah like? Abba Shaul hi. Titania Abba Shaul omer, tful yom tchila lekodesh, letamei shnayim ulefsol echad. You would have thought that if it's, the assumption is, she's like an av for kodshim, and a rishon for kodshim, seems to imply that she would only be matame kodshim and nothing else. What they're saying is, no. It's, you're also matame chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. The chiddush of lekodeshim is not that it's kodshim and not chulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. The chiddush is that they hold like Abba Shaul that if you have a tful yom, he can make. Okay, now what does that mean? Here we have letame shnayim ulefsol echad. If you have someone who's an avatuma, how do you treat a tful yom? The chiddush here is you treat a tful yom like an avatuma that has the status to turn the next thing, right? Let's say kodshim, it touches kodshim, that kodshim becomes a rishon, that kodshim can touch something else to become a sheni, that's letame shnayim, it can go two stages, we're in Beit Hillel, sorry. Clarify. It could be a rishon to be metame, two stages, sheni and shlishi, and lifsol revi'i. Remember why lifsol? Lifsol is always when you're at the end game. The end game is it's just posel. Letame means it can make it impure so that it transmits impurity to the next level. So it could be metame, two, and lifsol echad. And that's what it's trying to teach you. Not everybody thinks that a tefillah yom can start that high up and go so many stages down. Some people think they just can't touch kudshim. But it doesn't mean that they can't touch kudshim, which will mess up other kudshim, which will mess up other kudshim. And that's why I say kudshim, not say kudshim in achulin, shenasol tarat kodesh. It just said kudshim and not... And the kudshim actually does go down. This woman who's a tefillah yom can go down a bunch of stages when it comes to the kudshim. New Mishnah. Umodim, however, they both agree, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, she ochelet b'maser, that she can eat maser sheni. Okay? Meaning, even though she's a tefillah yom, theoretically, there's no problem when it comes to maser sheni. Vikotzala chalash, she can, while she's making her dough, she can separate the part she's going to take challah from. Right, because before you separate it, it's not kodesh, because really challah is kodeshim, but before you actually do this, so you separate it, what do? Uma kefet, she puts it in a bowl, she brings it right next to the rest of the dough so that it's touching, right, the bowl is kind of touching the other dough, but she doesn't touch it at this point. She can touch it to separate it, but then kore lashem, then she calls it challah. Once she calls it challah, she can't be touching it anymore. That's why it has to be done while it's in a bowl. Ve'im nafal miroka umidam tahara al kikar shel truma, a little unpleasant, her saliva or blood from her dam tohar falls on a kikar of truma, on a loaf of truma, shu tahor. That blood is not tahor and her saliva is not tahor because she doesn't have the status of a zava and a regular yoledet in her 7 or 14 days. She's in a tahor stage. So it's true she has this one issue about kodshim, but no problem with her rok, her saliva, and no problem with the blood. Beit Shammai Omrim, here we go back to what I mentioned earlier, Tzricha Tfilah Ba'achronah, she needs to tovel at the end. Ubeit Hillel Omrim, Einat Tzricha Tfilah Ba'achronah, she doesn't need to tovel at the end, she already toveled at the end of her 7 or her 14 days. So now the Gemara says, going back to the Maaser, Da'am Amar, Taval Va'ala Ochel B'Maaser. As soon as you go in the mikvah, a regular Tfil Yom, anybody who's a Tfil Yom, remember the first Mishnah, we'll get there in a few days, right? Notice it says it's the Kohanim who get to eat their truma. They have to wait till nightfall, till they're pure. Right here we see that the end connects with the beginning. It's very nice. But the maser can be eaten without a problem. So now they say, because chulin hatfulin lechala lav kechaladam. But we've seen this phrase before. It's a funny, I like the wording. It has a good ring to it. Chulin that are tevel for challah, meaning you have a batch of dough that needs challah to be taken, is not yet called challah until you actually call it challah. So that's why she can touch it at the beginning stage. Uma kefet, why does she have to put them near each other? Here we learn a side thing about challah. Mitzvah litrom min amukaf. You always have to have things next to each other when you're taking truma masra, when you're taking challah. B'koral Hashem, now why is this? Salkadatach nigzor dilma ate leminga ba me'avarai ka mashmalan. You might have thought that maybe we don't allow her to do this because maybe she'll actually accidentally touch it. But no, we say as long as it's in some utensil and she's not actually coming in direct contact with it, it's fine. V'im nafal meroka, okay, why her saliva? Ditnan, as it says, mashket ful yom, or mashkim ayotzi mimenu, ki mashkim anugea bahem. Okay, the mashka of a tful yom, or mashkim that come out of a tful yom, any of the liquids, that's not a problem. It's only the zav who's an avatuma. A tful yom is already a lower level of tuma. So for sure, remember, we've talked about this many times before, that a tful yom is kind of an in-between. They've gone to the mikvah, but they're not yet pure entirely. There's certain things they can do, certain things they can't. Their status of impurity already goes down, and therefore we're not going to be machmir when it comes to liquids that come out of their body. Beit Shammai. So now they say, why is Beit Shammai say you have to be tovel, and Beit Hillel says you don't? My benayu, amar of katina, tful yom aroch ika benayu. The whole way is how do we perceive this long extended tful yom? That's the difference, lahalacha. Okay, we're going to learn the next Mishnah, go into tomorrow's daf. Yom Now we have a woman who sees on day number 11. Again, we're getting a bunch of random topics. She sees on her 11th Zava day, not the 11th day from the beginning of her cycle, right? She has the 7 days of Nida, 11 of Zava. Now she's in day number 11. We've actually discussed this problem before, which is, well, is she Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom? Zava Ketana, usually she has to wait till the next day. If she sees the next day, she'll be a Zava of 2 days. If she then waits the next day, then she'll be a Zava Gedola. But at this point, if she sees the next day, it's Nida blood. It's not Zava blood anyway. So she doesn't really need to be Shomeret Yom Keneged Yom. However, question is, how do we deal with her in terms of various situations? So let's say she sees on the 11th day. Now, what's she supposed to do? She's supposed to tovel the next day in the morning and becomes pure at night. Now, in a normal situation, when she's shomer at yom keneged yom, she has to wait to make sure the whole day she doesn't bleed. This woman is a little bit different because she's already in a potential need to days. If she does bleed, well, not she doesn't necessarily. First of all, it's day number 19. Most women aren't going to be bleeding then. It's not like it's her veset. Forget about vestot. But if she bleeds, we don't really care in terms of zava, right? So, okay. So what does she do? She's supposed to go in the morning anyway because that's when zava goes. Let's say this woman dunked at night. She went in the mikveh at night because she said, "Hey, what do I need to wait for tomorrow? I don't need to be shomer yom keneged yom." So v'tavlala erev u'mishamsha. And let's say she sleeps with her husband that night. So what's her status? Okay, basically, this woman is mitame mishkav moshav, and she's chayavim b'korban. They're both chayavim b'korban because she wasn't supposed to go to the mikveh that night, and therefore she's still theoretically considered a zava. Okay, so since she can't go to the mikveh at that point yet, she's supposed to wait till the morning. She's 100% still a zava. It's as if her mikveh didn't do anything. And then they have to bring a korban of sleeping with a woman when she's a zava. And he becomes, remember, someone who's bo'el nida, which is the same as bo'el zava, basically. He's also matame, just like she is. So mishka, moshav, anything they sit on. U'beit Hillel omrim, p'turim in a korban. Okay, it seems here that Beit Hillel would say he's also matame, mishka, moshav. However, they don't have to bring a korban because, theoretically, why really can't she go to the mikvah? Because we don't want us to confuse and think that a regular zava can go at night and doesn't have to be shomer yom keneged yom. So because of that, they would go there. But really, right, there's nothing really wrong with it. So therefore, she really did go to the mikveh, and we don't see it as if it was nothing. Tavla b'yom shalacharav. What if she tovels in the morning? Okay, so far, that's what she's supposed to do. But instead of waiting till nightfall to sleep with her husband, shimsha et beita. Okay, she slept with her husband. Ba'achar kach ra'ata. And then she sees blood later that day. So now, theoretically, how should we view that blood? Nita blood. And it shouldn't be a problem because she got out of Zava. And, right, she should have waited till night. But she really didn't need to be Shomer Yom Keneged Yom here anyway. So it really should be okay. So, b'chamei amrim, mitamim mishkav u'moshav u'pturim in a korban. Okay? So, since it's really only a gzera, so that you shouldn't confuse it with the other days, because according to Beit Shammai, when she goes at night, well, she wasn't allowed to go at night, but she was allowed to go in the morning. So she told Kamosha Tzalich. She didn't wait, but she didn't really need to wait, because, right, the only reason to wait would be a gzera, that you don't confuse other days of Zava, of bleeding, that you would think you didn't have to wait. And therefore, she is Patur Menach Korban, but she would still be Matameh Mishkav Moshav. Okay, we're going to be Machmir in that area. Because that, they did, they were gozer when it came to the Korban, they always wanted to be more Meka with Korbanot. Beit Hillel omrim hareze gar giran. Okay, he basically says this is a person who can't wait. Okay, in other words, they can't deal with their ta'avot, their desires, and it's not looked at as a good thing. Okay, Rashi says memaher lachtosh. Okay, and they say basically, you know, you shouldn't have done that. You should have waited so that you don't confuse things. But really, there's no practical ramifications, according to him. Nothing where you really, she's really Anida. So it doesn't matter. It's like Zava ended, and Anida started after. When they had their sexual relations, she was fine. Umodim, however, they agree in the case of what? Beroe betoch yur alef yom. Okay, if it was within the 11 days, not on the day number 11, but if it was within the 11 days, vitavla la'ere vishimsha, everybody agrees in Beit Hillel, Shemitamim, Mishkav, Moshav, Chayavim, Bekorban. Then you really be Chayav, Bekorban, and Mitame. The Tavla Bayom Shalacharav, what if you did the second case? You went to the mikveh in the morning, Vishimsha, and then you had sexual relations during that day. Hareze Tarbut Ra'a. Okay, this is not a preferable way of method of behaving. However, Maga'anu Bi'ilatan Tluyin. But in this case, what do we say? We hold off and we wait till the end of the day. If in the end she didn't bleed at all, well, then we say any tarot she came in contact with, we're fine. And if she slept with her husband, he's also not tameh because she wasn't actually a zava. But if she did see blood later on that day, and that's the whole reason you're supposed to wait till nightfall is in case you end up seeing blood. You really have to wait out that whole day. But if you didn't wait and then you saw blood after, well, then retroactively we're going to say any tarot, and if you slept with your husband, it's all tameh retroactively. Okay, we'll start up with here tomorrow.